Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are tuned in to Black Geek Movie Talk. It is Sunday, May 17, and we are going to be reviewing Mad Max Fury Road today. And as usual, I'm Yolanda, and I'm here with my co-host, Elise. Elise, say hello, please.
Hello.
So, yeah, so today we're talking about Mad Max Fury Road, and to start, Elise, can you give us a quick summary of what it is that we saw this weekend?
Sure, yeah. So Mad Max Fury Road, written and directed by George Miller. I think he had two other people help him with the script. And it takes place 30 years after the last Mad Max. And so the movie opens, Max is captured by the big bad, Mortem Joe, and tries to escape, can't escape. And the movie really picks up when we see Charlize Theron's character named Furiosa. She's like a driver for Mortem Joe. She goes out on a quest to get gasoline, we think, but then we realize that she's actually, spoiler alert, she's actually kidnapped Mortem Joe's wives, these five, you know, beautiful, lied women. And that's where the story kicks off. So Max is hooked onto the front of a car. He's a blood donor for one of the war boys, and they go on the chase to try to get Furiosa and these wives back. So Charlize Theron loses the people following her, and Max escapes from Nicholas Hoult's character, Nux, and they kind of team up. But it's a little bit, it's just, you know, the relationship is wary. They have like a fight, you know, kind of an all-out brawl kind of thing. But they kind of, it's an alliance kind of just out of necessity. So Charlize Theron is trying to get these wives to the green place. This is where she grew up. They think they're going to be free. So they make this trek across the desert. Mortem Joe, and now he's got two other clans with him. They're chasing down these women. So they finally make it to the green place, and it turns out that the green place is dead. It's no more. Charlize hooks up with a group of, like, biker chicks. Those are the people that she came from, and, you know, they tell her, the green place is gone, man. You passed it.
Yeah.
They decide they're going to go further east to try to find, you know, something else. And Max convinces them, no, man, the Citadel is unprotected because Mortem Joe is out here trying to get you. Your best bet is to go back and take his land. So they decide to do that, and then they go back across the desert with the new, we got the new, like, female motorcycle girls. They've got Nicholas Hoult's characters on their side now, and they make a dash back to a Mortem Joe Citadel. And that's basically the story.
That's the story. Okay. So let's, really quickly, if we can, what were your thoughts going into this? Were you looking forward to this film? Were you familiar with the other Mad Maxes before? I know you're a little bit you're a little bit young, so you were like a wee babe when these originally came out. But you know, have you seen any of these? You know, since you've come of age, or what were you feeling? Were you excited for this, even without knowing anything about the history, or did you like not kind of care?
No, I was super excited. The trailers looked amazing. I mean, they just looked ridiculous. And then, of course, you know, the Mad Max is it's kind of a legend. It's definitely got a cult following. I remember, I was too young to actually see them in the theater. I think I was maybe I think I had just been born when the second one came out. But I was super excited just from the trailers, and then the casting seemed awesome. Tom Hardy as Max. I was really excited.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm, you know, a little bit older than you, and while I did not see these in the theater, I did see them, you know, on television after the fact, and one that kind of stands out for me, because they sort of, you know, you have these visions of things, like when you're a kid, you watch stuff, and it just, like, stays with you, and you don't even realize where stuff comes from until you get older sometimes, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's why whenever I see something, like, set in the desert and people are dressed a certain way, I always call it, like, Mad Max, you know? And for me, maybe one of the ones that stood out most for me was the one with Tina Turner, was Beyond Thunderdome, because even if that wasn't the strongest, you know, critically, if that didn't, I don't know, maybe because it was the last one in the series, so it was the most recent, but also, you know, because I remember these characters, and Tina Turner, like this character that she created, just the look of her and Tina Turner being Tina Turner. So I say all that to say, you know, I was looking forward to this, even without that history, even if this was like, it didn't have any history, like you said, like the cast of characters, I mean, Charlize Theron, Tom Hardy, and just the look of it. Like you said, it looked insane. Like, what is going on in this film? Who was on crack, you know, to come up with this? Like, what is happening? So I, too, was really, really, this was, like, one of the ones that I was really looking forward to this year. So that being said, what were some of the things about this film that, like, stood out for you? Because I know, you know, we talk a lot of times about acting, the look of the film, the writing, the story. What, if anything, stood out for you, would you say?
Well, I mean, visually, that's basically it. Like the production design and the costumes and the cinematography, that was really like the star of the movie. But also, I thought the music was awesome. And I think Junkie XL did that. And then also, I liked the fact that I liked Charlize Theron's character. I liked. It didn't. It almost kind of didn't even feel like the movie was about Mad Max. It was really about, you know, Furiosa and these chicks. So that was kind of cool. But definitely, just the visuals were what I mean. Just unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And when, you know, in preparing to do this review, and, like, I'm looking at, you know, stills from the film, even before we went in to see this, I think I said to you, I was like, if for nothing else, this, I love the way this looks. It's so otherworldly and, like, gorgeous, yet it didn't feel like a bunch of CGI, and I'm sure there was some CGI, but it didn't feel like, it wasn't like a space epic where just about like 99% of the stuff was made up, you know, when you come up with planets and all these buildings and things. It felt like grounded in reality, like it was simplistic, you know what I mean? Because you're in a desert. Right. And even if they did like CGI and like throw some stuff together to make it more dramatic, it didn't feel that way. So you were in this other world, even though it's supposed to take place on planet Earth, you know, it just had this otherworldly yet gorgeous effect. For me, we can, you know, it's a desert. And then when they did, you know, the characters themselves, like the war boys to be these guys who don't have any shirts on, and they're running around, they're all like painted white with like no hair, they're all bald, and then maybe they have some like black around their eyes. I just, there was so much about it visually that just I loved, you know. It was just pretty, and then the when the things would explode, you would have these crazy looking oranges, you know, set against, you know, the blue sky and the the desert, the sand, you know, the kind of this orange. It was just, I just thought it was like gorgeously put together. And then when you talk about, like, the characters themselves, when you talk about Furiosa, Charlize Theron, again, like, I liked her character, but I also liked her look. You know, just from the trailers and, like, the movie poster alone, I was like, okay, that's a character that somebody's going to want to, like, recreate. I could totally see somebody, like, wanting to do something, some take on that, like Dragon Con or something. Because it's so, to me, striking, and it, like, fit with the whole look of the film. You know, I mean, she's got this bald head, and then half of it is black, you know, flames around her, like, whatever color eyes she had, you know. And like you said, it's interesting because even though the title of the film is Mad Max, it felt more like it was a Furiosa movie, you know, and he was just...
Yeah,
like there, with that thing over his face, you know, for like the first, what was it, like the first like 45 minutes of the film before he got to get the thing off his face, before we even see that it's Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
It's like, is that Tom Hardy? I thought Tom Hardy was in this. I think that might be Tom Hardy. I'm not sure. Yeah, so the look of the film is definitely, you talk about the look, let's talk about the some of the action sequences. For me, that's another thing that stood out about this film. Some of the stuff they did, and Mad Max, the history of Mad Max, is when I think about Mad Max, I think of these ridiculous car chases with these ridiculous characters, and not just cars. But cars that have been put together in these crazy ways, so they're like monster cars or crazy like motorcycle things, and these people and they're riding and they're like hour-long chases, things that you wouldn't think about. Like when you're thinking of car chases, you don't think about, like Mad Max has like its own thing. Mad Max is a completely different type of car chase. That's another thing for me that stood out about this film. Were just some of the, I mean, I think I said to you more than once, like, what sort of crack, like, what sort of drug did you have to be on to come up with some of these sequences, you know? So that for me was another thing that stood out as being, like, really elaborate, but like grounded in this sort of reality that makes it, I don't know, it just makes it its own thing that you're not going to see in any other, place, I think, except a Mad Max film. What about for you?
And I think that like that feeling that it's grounded in something has to do, I read that like over 80% of the effects were practical effects, so not CGI, you know, rigging and stuntmen and stuff. And so that was kind of refreshing after being, you know, inundated with the CGI action. It doesn't even look like there are real people in the scene.
Right.
In some of the movies we've seen recently. So that, that was really amazing. I mean, he created complete worlds, like, It was just, it's insane. And you have to go see it on a big screen, I think.
Yes.
To at least to really appreciate it.
To appreciate, yes. I don't think that this is something that you can really appreciate from your home. I am so glad we saw it where we did. Because you could really appreciate, you know, I felt like I was part of the film. And like you said, we're so used to CGI world that you kind of forget. You kind of forget what that feels like. I mean, it really does have a different type of feel where I kind of feel like excited in a way that I don't know it's entirely possible to be as excited by, in CGI films. I mean, that's not to say that CGI films, there aren't CGI films that I love, that I own, but I feel like, I don't know, I can't describe it. It really is kind of like a lost kind of art when you, especially with these big budget type things, you know?
Yeah.
These big blockbusters. I mean, I guess maybe indie films or smaller budgeted films, like, you know, do more of the practical effects. But I love it, especially, you know, when you're talking about something like this. You're talking about something otherworldly, and you're doing practical stuff. It makes it more real, more real. You know, you feel like, okay, we really are. We're in post-apocalyptic something. You know, I mean, I feel like I'm on another planet right now. Like, there's, like, these people are almost so much human. The settings are almost, like, it's, like, ridiculous. I mean, it's just, we could go on and on. But what are some other things? What about the story or the acting? I know you mentioned you liked Charlize's character, and there wasn't very much. I felt like maybe not much for Tom Hardy to really do, except to show up and be kind of like stoic. I think he maybe had maybe 20 words to say the entire film. So what did you think? Was there anybody else that stood out for you, like in terms of acting or story or anything else?
Well, Nicholas Hoult I really liked too. Just the War Boys was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That whole idea was just nuts. I will say some of the scenes with the wives I thought could have been stronger. I just felt like some of them, I don't know if it was just because they didn't have a lot to say or I don't know. I thought could have been stronger. But I mean, that was really my only criticism in terms of the acting.
Okay.
Everything else was great.
For me, I too felt like they were just kind of there to be just sort of like eye candy, I guess. Like the whole, like their whole introduction, like when we first realized what's going on, you know, and I remember the theater we were in, people actually kind of like laughed, like chuckled, because it was like, so far we had this rough, these crazy action sequences and like craziness and madness. It's like, ah! And all of a sudden, they show up as, like, I feel like, I'm not sure what the right word is, but I don't think that they were really there to serve any other purpose except, like,
eye candy.
Just eye candy in the middle of like, crazy town. And so, like, some of theirs, I felt like they could have, it could have been stronger, although I don't know how they could have made it any stronger. I don't know if they could have gotten different actors. I don't know. Because, I mean, I know that they had to be, like model-looking. I mean, I understood that, you know?
Yeah.
But if they could have found, like, models who maybe had stronger acting chops. But then again, see, I don't know. Because it's not like they were given too much, you know what? Like, you know, like really needy things to say. Or
what
really
were they?
I mean, so, what could they do? You know, we can't really fault them. But, yeah, like, I guess they were not my favorite part either. That I kind of understood what they were there for. And so what did you think of the story? I will say that it's very reminiscent and almost sort of the same thing that we've seen before with Mad Max, is where there's, you know, there's Mad Max, and then there are these renegade, insane people that he has to contend with. and then like some innocence that he has to like he's sort of paired with, not of his own, you know, decision or whatever. He's just kind of thrust into this thing, and he's kind of got to be the hero, reluctant hero, kind of. So it's that same thing, mm-hmm. you know, and then there's these weird, like, religious type things going on where the crazy people or the innocents, whatever. There's, like, some sort of weird piece-together religion of the Mad Maxes, making, like, a religious thing out of things left over from the past or something.
Yeah.
That's a similar theme in his films, which I find interesting and makes it, like, even creepier and crazier to me, you know? So, I mean, what did you think about this story? I mean, it was very simple, right? There was no complexity, right? It's like, there are crazy people, and we have to get away from them.
Right.
By any means necessary, right?
Yeah, I don't think he was too focused on the narrative. I think he was really focused on the visuals and kind of making it a spectacle. But at the same time, and, you know, dialogue obviously wasn't important. And I think he actually did the storyboard before he wrote the dialogue.
Wow.
He wasn't concerned about, you know, making this a character study. That's not what this is. But, like, when you were mentioning, like, he was able to create a really convincing world. When you mentioned that he took things, like, remnants of the past and elevated them to, like, you know, a religion, like, you know, water, the way that water turned into this, of course, obviously in the desert, you know, water becomes like this, you know, holy,
yes,
artifact.
Sacrament.
And then,
yeah.
Right, yeah. And then even, like, the people are dying, you know, everyone has these tumors, and so then, you know, the mother's milk becomes this this holy thing. And what else? Oh, and then, you know, he's convinced the war boys that they're going to Valhalla once they die.
Yes.
You know, they're kind of like kamikazes. And then, again, that imagery, just, there were so many interesting things when they spray their mouth with the silver stuff before they think they're going to sacrifice
themselves.
I mean, just, it was just insane and beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. That's totally, yes. If there were two words that, you know, if you had to narrow this down to just like two words, which you just said is for insane and beautiful.
Yeah.
It just seems like that wraps it up so perfectly. There's no other way to say it. Is it insane and beautiful? Yeah, there were a couple of sequences, you know, just talking about visual stuff. Like when they went into that crazy monster sandstorm, like, I don't even know what the heck was happening. But they go on this thing, and there's, like, lightning and fire. And I just was like, this is spectacular. I mean, this is just retarded right now what's happening. I don't even know what I'm looking at, but I am having so much fun looking at this.
Yeah.
Like, madness. It's just ridiculous. Okay, and you mentioned the music. That's funny that you mentioned the music because the music to me didn't really stand out. Like, I couldn't really say, like, at what point did the music, like, stand out for you enough for you to be like, oh, I really like the music?
Well, excuse me. Any of the action sequences, you know, with the guitar guy strapped to the war machine. I thought that was really cool. They kind of like, yeah, I thought it was kind of, it was like electronic, but then there was like heavy metal kind of with the electric guitar. It was just like weird and cool.
Okay. I definitely, when this is available streaming or comes on television, I'm definitely going to have to rewatch and look for that. But this is definitely a world that I, like we said in the beginning, I would definitely encourage people who like adventure kind of fantasy to go see this in the theater. Do not wait for this to be streaming. You have to go see it on a big screen. And this is definitely a world, I think I mentioned to you when we came out of the film, that I would run to go visit again. I hope that this wasn't the last Mad Max that he was planning to do. I would love to see this again. And I would, even though Tom Hardy wasn't in it very much, I would love for him to put his leather jacket back on and go back to Namibia. Some other desert landscape. I would definitely love to revisit this world and see what else this madman can come up with. I mean, it was just very entertaining. So we've got 3 minutes left. Do you want to rate this now, or was there something else that you wanted to say in relation to the film about the film?
Oh, well, I was gonna say they're making more because Tom Hardy signed on for three more.
Wow.
Yeah, he signed. Oh. I mean, you know, that may change, but right now he's committed to three more of them. So,
oh, I'm so excited, so excited. yeah. Okay, I'm going to let you start with the rating system. 0 to 5 stars, how many are you giving this?
I'm going to give this, and now I want to change my rating from last week, but I'm going to give this 3.5. it was really cool. I mean, just like madness, and it's just cool. Like, just go check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I that's so funny because I was thinking about my rating from last week, and people might be like, especially people who know me, might be like, are you really going to do that? But yes, I am. I'm sticking with the rating I gave Ultron, and I'm giving this a 3. Simply because, to me, this was, I felt much more invested in the film, and the fact that there were practical effects that were just so gorgeous and over the top, and like this whole place, I want to go revisit. I'm giving this a 3. This was a solid, solid film, and just so much fun, so much fun. So I'm giving this a 3, and I stand by what I gave Ultron, which I still refuse to believe that Joss Whedon wrote. Here we go. We're at the end of the show, and Elise, do you want to tell folks what we're reviewing next time? Do you know what we're reviewing next time?
I don't know what we're reviewing next time, Yolanda. Why don't you tell us?
We're going to be back next week. That's next week, not 2 weeks from now, not 3 weeks from now, next week, next Sunday. May 24th, we will be reviewing Tomorrowland, starring Will Smith. So that should be another interesting one. We'll see. So hopefully you tune back next week, and we'll be talking about that. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in.